great scenes from great plays with your host, Walter Hamden, and starring tonight, Mr. Walter Pidgeon in The Citadel. On behalf of the families of the Protestant Episcopal Church in your own community and the Episcopal Actors Guild, we welcome you to another half hour of great scenes from great plays, transcribed by famous artists of stage, screen, and radio. Now I present your host, the distinguished actor-manager, Mr. Walter Hamden.
Thank you and good evening. Tonight it is our privilege to present a famous story that has touched the hearts of audiences everywhere. It is A.J. Cronin's The Citadel, a story about a doctor, by a doctor, the story of a man whose ideals came into bitter conflict with his ambition and whose love for his wife restored those ideals. And here to play that man, Dr. Andrew Manson, is Mr. Walter Pidgeon. Early part of the century, and fresh from his internship, the ink on his parchment only newly dry, Dr. Andrew Manson comes to his first practice. Going his brand new rounds in the smog and squalor of a Welsh mining town, he's young, eager, and resolved to do good. But his handicaps are three. This called doubt.
Tell me now, has she been like this long?
Aye, Doctor. 3-4 days now.
And always with this fever?
Aye, she's had the fever.
But you say it started with a chill.
Aye, there was that chill the first.
Ah, I see. Well, come to my office in half an hour, say. I'll prepare something, some medicine. I'll prepare something.
First, the doubt of self. The textbooks and the professors said nothing of that, nor of this, ignorance.
Doctor, sir, will you renew my medicine?
What's in it, ma'am, and what's it for?
Well, it's for my trouble. You know.
No, ma'am, I don't know. As for what's in it, no doctor will write renewals without knowing all the facts. Now, if you let me examine you...
Doctor! I want only my medicine. And if you won't give it me, old doctor will. I had no right to come to a green one, I hadn't.
Doubt within him, ignorance around him, and along with these, the struggle to earn a living, and hunger that breeds anger in a man. Anger, and a vile, unreasonable temper, like the time.
Yes?
You're the school teacher?
I'm Christine Barlow, yes.
I understand you have a pre-tubercular child here.
Oh, if you mean Mary Llewellyn.
That's the child. I ordered her to stay home. You ordered her back to school. What are you trying to do, infect the whole class? That girl should be isolated.
Well, in the first place, Doctor, Mary's behind a screen by the window, and that's a kind of isolation. In the second place, nearly all the children here are pre-tubercular.
That's for me to decide. That child is to go home.
The child stays. Here, she gets milk. Home, she starves. Here, I keep her clean. Home? Well, have you seen the miners' homes, Doctor? She's better off here.
I order you to send her home immediately.
Doctor, I am mistress of this class. You may order people about elsewhere, but here it's my word that counts. And my word is that she stays.
And I'm going...
Straight to the Board of Health to report me, Doctor.
That's the first time you've been right today. Miss Barlow.
Well, back so soon?
I waited for a school out.
And you haven't the board with you?
I didn't go to the Board of Health.
That's nice.
Well, I changed my mind.
And what made you change your mind?
Woman, I'm trying to apologize, and you're only making it harder. I just wanted to tell you, Well, to tell you, I was sorry for a cheap exhibition of authority.
It's all right, Dr. Medson. You must forgive me for being school-marmish.
No, I'm the one to be forgiven. Oh, if you're walking home, could I carry your books?
I wish you would.
So out of temper, a friend. Someone to talk to, someone to talk with.
The only thing, Christine, the only thing that makes it worthwhile, well, it's the way the people take it, year in and year out, down in the mines at 12, old men by 40. But I wish I could do more for them than, well, just set broken arms and, well, dose stomach aches. And I'd like to get at that thing in their lungs.
Oh, so you've noticed that?
Noticed it. Everybody has it. Men, women, even children like Mary Llewellyn. You know, when I was in school, I used to dream.
Of what, Andrew?
Oh, big things, research, great cures, riding out bravely and storming the Citadel.
What Citadel?
Dream Citadel, you know. Go forth and do battle in glory against ignorance and pain and... Ah, posh sermon.
No. Tell me more about the Citadel.
Well, I guess I wanted to learn more and more and help more and more people. That was my Citadel. To learn and to help. Now, well...
Now?
Now I've learned only this. Take nothing for granted. Not even what I learned in the books. Only what I see with my eyes, touch with my fingertips, or hear through my stethoscope. No more storming the Citadel. Just work, work, and more work.
But, Andrew, out of the work can come a glory for a doctor. I hope and pray you reach your Citadel.
I pray I reach it, too.
You will. I know you will.
So for a long time, the work, always the work, and the reaching toward the Citadel. The never-ending round of day on day, but along with it, the budding of the friendship. And finally...
Christine! Chris!
What's wrong, Andrew?
Chris, I'm going away. I mean, I can go away. Big things. Oh,
but
I've got
Andrew,
a chance
to... calm down.
Calm down, woman. I've been offered a new job. A wonderful chance in London, in the big city.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But wait till you hear. It's an old practice I can take over. Mm-hmm. A house and a guaranteed $500 a year. But there's one condition. They want a married man. Chris, will you marry me? Huh?
Because you want the job? Or because you want me?
Oh, this is no time for a sense of humor. Because I want you. Because, Chris, you know I love you. Maybe you don't love me,
Dr.
but...
Dr. Andrew Manson, I've loved you ever since you came roaring into my classroom.
Now the new job, the big city, and the work... The same daily round of small ills and vague complaints, but now, too, a hopeful foot on the road to the Citadel. Work for a man and wife on the research gathered during the mining town years, on that old trouble, the miner's grinding lung trouble.
Chris, dear, mm-hmm. Would you add this to the other notes? I have been struck by the large number of miners. Too fast, dear?
Oh, no. Number of miners.
With lung disease. I propose to discover if there is a direct connection between mining and tuberculosis. I have definitely ascertained that pneumoconiosis...
Oh, Andrew.
I'm sorry, dear. That fibrosis of the lungs due to dust inhalation is in excess... Oh, no. We'll say it this way. There is more fibrosis of the lungs among miners than anywhere else in the world.
In the world. Uh-huh. Yes, go ahead, darling.
Now, the accompanying charts fully prove that these disorders are caused not only by mechanical action of the silicon particles, but also by the chemical action of the silicon itself.
Of the silicon itself.
Yeah. Well, there it is, Chris. We've done it. You and me and the guinea pigs. Oh, we've done it, Chris.
Thank you. Thus, the surer step toward the citadel. But the regular work, the bread-and-butter practice, continues small, so small that in time the dream of the citadel is lost in the daily struggle to earn a living. And after 2 years...
Chris, I've sat in that office 2 whole hours and seen one patient. And here's the result. A whole day's earnings, 3 shillings 6 months. We shouldn't have left Wales. We should not have come to London.
Oh, but people have got to know you, darling. You're new here. It takes time.
Time. That's all we have, time. And you can help me save some of that. I've got an idea.
Yes, Andrew?
I want you to do something for me. Huh? I'm always prescribing medicines for patients and having to make them up. Now, I'll make up a batch of those medicines. Quantity, you see, cheaper. And you can fill the bottles, label and wrap them as I prescribe them.
But, Andrew, those are stock mixtures. You used to call them cure-alls.
They're simple prescriptions that can't hurt a soul.
Can they help?
They can't do any harm.
Oh, Andrew, what's happened to you? What's happened to you? You haven't done any work on the silicosis thing. You just sent in the paper, grabbed the degree, and that's all. Where's the citadel? Where's the young doctor who used to dream about learning and learning and helping people? What's happened to
you? Nothing's happened to me. I've just got to make a living. Can't you see? Forget all that hogwash I used to moon about. Either do as I say or...
Or what, Andrew?
Nothing. Nothing.
Or what?
I'm sorry. I lost my temper. Chris, forgive me. It's getting too hard. It's getting too much. I tell you what. I got a wonderful offer from Ivory the other day.
Ivory?
You know, that specialist down at the hospital.
Oh, yes. You used to call him a fraud, a quack, a bleeder of the rich.
All right. I was wrong. He's doing wonderfully well now.
Andrew, does being successful make him a good doctor?
All right. Ivory, whatever you may think of him, is doing very well. He's asked me to come to talk with him, and no matter what you say, I'm going.
Now you're being intelligent, Manson. It's simple, it's clean, and it's profitable. You see, you've learned idealism doesn't pay.
Well,
doctors have to eat. If people are hypochondriacs, all right, let them be.
I know.
Their ailments are real to them, and they want real doctors.
But
no buts, Manson. Hear me out.
All right.
I need you. My practice is larger than I can handle. And when you get rolling, yours will be too, if you work it right. Keep them coming. That's the motto. Keep them coming. And all we do is flatter them that their ailments are worse than they are, which pleases them. And refer.
Refer?
Yes, for consultation.
Huh?
I refer cases to you, you refer cases to me. The patients can afford it. Why shouldn't we profit by it?
But isn't that unethical?
Oh, come now, Manson. Are you with me?
Well, I... Yes, Dr. Ivory, I'm with you. Mrs. Lawrence, about your daughter's tonsils, I'd like to suggest a colleague of mine, Dr. Ivory. Rather expensive, but one of the finest surgeons in London. And I know you want Sylvia to have the best.
Manson, I'm sending over young Sherrenbrook, Lord Sherrenbrook's son. Nothing wrong with him, a little sobriety won't cure. But he's worried about his lungs, so look him over, will you? It should be worth at least £10.
Christine. Oh, any calls?
2. One was from a doctor, Stillman. He said he was an American who...
Stillman? The lung man. He's not a doctor. He's just Mister. A physiological essayist. What did he want?
Oh, he said he'd read your paper on lungs and wanted to talk with you about your tuberculosis work.
Oh. Well, I hope you told him I've been busy.
I told him you'd be home later. He'll drop around.
Oh. What was the other call?
A girl. She's waiting in the office.
After hours? What's the matter with you?
I thought you'd want to see her. Her name is Mary Llewellyn.
And why should I want to see her?
She's from Wales. A miner's daughter.
Oh. Well, all right. But don't let this happen again. Well, young lady, who referred you to me?
Nobody, sir. It's just that back home, everybody knows of you.
Back home?
Yes, sir. Where you used to doctor.
Oh, back home. I see. You have trouble with your chest, huh?
Yes, sir. Something in my lungs.
Uh-huh, I see. Would you come over here, my dear? Good. Now, turn around. Now, breathe. In. Hold it. Out. Deeper now. In. Out. In. Out. All right, Mary, take this paper to the hospital. You'll find the address right there, and they'll let you in. I'll be around to see you tomorrow.
But, Doctor, I'm afraid of hospitals. I don't want to die in a hospital.
No, no, no. You're not going to die, Mary. The hospital...
It's tuberculosis. I know it is. I can tell by how you look at me. Please don't make me go there.
My dear girl, you'll get the best of care. I send many patients there. And I'll have Dr. Ivory look at you.
But I came all the way to London for you to take care of me. Not the hospital.
That's enough now, Mary. You just go on along to the hospital like a good girl. Now, run along.
Yes, Dr. Manson.
Well?
TB, left lung.
Oh.
Needs a pneumothorax. You know, collapse the lung and fill the cavity with an inert gas. Would rest the lung, but she can't afford it.
Can't afford it? But she needs it.
I cannot help, and I cannot help what she needs. I can't take on every case that comes whimpering up from the provinces.
Don't
I'm trying
you
to...
Don't you know who that girl is? Oh. Mary Llewellyn, the little girl you came storming into my class about. The girl who brought us together. And you've forgotten her. You've forgotten what we used to be together. Your work, your...
My work, my work. What did that ever get us? What did it ever do for me? I'm beyond all that now. Can't you see I'm only trying to get us somewhere, trying to... I'm tired of explaining myself to you. I'm sick and tired of... Oh, answer the door.
Is the doctor in?
Oh, yes, Mr. Stillman. Won't you come in?
Thank you.
Andrew, this is Mr. Stillman.
Oh, good evening, sir. Won't you sit down?
For a moment, thank you. Oh, don't leave, Mrs. Manson. I have a meeting to attend this evening, so I'll take but a minute. Doctor, I'll be brief. I'm opening a clinic here in London. I want you to come in with me.
What kind of a clinic?
Why, tuberculosis, lung diseases.
Oh, yes.
As you know, I'm not a physician. I need a brilliant man in the field. That's why I've come to you. Your work, your researches...
Yeah, well, I haven't worked in the field recently, and I've been working at making a living.
And doing well, I understand.
Oh, frankly, yes.
Well, I still want you with me. Are you interested?
Oh, Andrew, it sounds wonderful. It'll mean getting back to your work.
Mr. Stillman, I'll need time to think.
I hope my lack of standing among licensed men isn't stopping you. I know they call me a quack because I don't have an M.D. after my name... But I've fought TB all my life, and I want to fight it here.
Stillman, a decision like this takes time.
Will you call me in a week? I can't promise you fame and fortune, but it's a field you once had talent for. So, call me in a week. Hello?
Mr. Stillman, Manson.
Oh, yes, Doctor.
Concerning your proposal.
Yes, yes.
I've decided, that is, I'm afraid I'll have to decline. You see, I have so many patients, I owe it to them to continue my practice. In fact, I have to attend one right now with Dr. Ivory. So, I'm sorry, sir. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Dr. Manson.
I'm looking for a patient. I have referred to Dr. Ivory, a Miss Mary Llewellyn.
A lung case?
Yes.
Yes, sir. This way, sir. Right here. She's sleeping.
Oh, let me see her chart. She doesn't look well. In fact, nurse, is this an accurate record? Temperature, pulse? Area of infection?
The chart is accurate, Dr. Manson.
Well, what is this down here? Operation scheduled. What operation?
You'll have to see Dr. Ivory about that, sir.
I will. This girl had a TB infiltration. Now, 1 week later, she's infinitely worse. Get her up, nurse. Get her clothes on, put her in the ambulance, and send her to my home. And where's Ivory? I want to see that man. Ivory, what have you done with that Welsh girl? What did you let her do? Rot in her bed?
What are you talking about, Manson?
This. Look at this chart. Is this the way you care for your cases? You're letting this girl die. And what's this operation you've scheduled?
Simple thoracoplasty, my dear fellow. Just a...
Simple. Just removing all the ribs on one side and completely unnecessary. She needs a pneumothorax and you know it.
My dear man, we do not believe in pneumothorax. Apparently you've been talking to Stillman.
Yes, I have.
And what is more, the girl cannot afford the extended treatment. Complete rib section will get the girl off our hands more quickly. I took the case only as a favor to you. You know we cannot afford these complicated procedures with charity patients.
And so because she can't pay, you'd subject her to life with half her lungs dead, with half her chest shrunken? Ivory, you're no surgeon. You're a butcher.
Manson.
You spoke of Stillman. Well, Stillman is where Mary Llewellyn's going and going fast.
Manson, Stillman is not a registered physician.
Maybe so. But I'm going to have Mary Llewellyn properly treated.
If you take her out of here, I will have you before the Council of Medicine on charges of malpractice.
Go ahead!
Dr. Andrew Manson, having heard the charges preferred against you by the Council of Medicine in regard to your malpractice in the case of Mary Llewellyn, have you anything to say in your defense?
Gentlemen, I have heard the charges, and I have this to say. I have heard the name of Mr. Stillman reviled because he is not a qualified gentleman. Perhaps you remember that Louis Pasteur, the greatest figure in scientific medicine, was not a doctor. Nor was Ehrlich, the man who gave medicine its best and most specific remedy in history. Stillman is a great and original scientific thinker, and he's done more for tuberculosis than any man living today.
Dr. Manson, it is you who are on trial today, not Mr. Stillman.
Very well, sir. But in speaking for him, I speak for medicine. For myself, I have made mistakes before, but I made no mistake with Stillman. I do not regret what I did. For gentlemen, it is my holy belief that the mission of medicine, the reason for a physician's life and work and very being, is simply this: to cure, to make well the ill. Gentlemen, this is my defense, my only defense. Mary, will you stand up, please? Gentlemen, that is Mary Llewellyn. Mary is the girl Stillman and I treated. Not so long ago, she was in an advanced stage of tuberculosis. Look at her now. She is practically cured. She is healthy. Her health is my defense. And now you may do with me what you will. And so, Chris, I let money be my citadel. Pretended it was for you, and I knew it was just greed and selfishness. But I know better now. It took Mary Llewellyn and what Ivory was going to do. It took that to show me.
It's all right, Andrew. It's all over. You've won.
Yeah, it's all over. But where to from here, my dearest?
Anywhere you say.
Say, a small town. Start over. Perhaps pick up the silicosis work. Set up a lab. Get to work and... Woman, you're not even listening to me.
I was listening to how you said it, not what you were saying. And I was looking at the sky, Andrew. Look, there.
Clouds.
Sun breaking through. And the clouds are like...
battlements. Towers, Chris. And banners waving. Chris. Oh, my Chris. There's a citadel to storm again.
In tonight's inspiring play, Dr. Andrew Manson made the mistake that is so easy to make in our too materialistic modern world. He tried to substitute money for ideals. He tried to convince himself that the citadel of doubt and ignorance he started out to conquer as a young doctor was not worth storming. But he discovered that material success and financial security are worthless when they become more important than faithfulness to one's ideals, more important than service to God and our fellow man. Like Dr. Manson, each of us has a citadel to conquer. Each of us must find in service to God and our fellow man the inner strength that can help us overcome doubt and fear so that we can build a really complete life. And when we put these first things first, then material success can help, not hinder us. There is one place in which we can always find the light and the guidance that leads toward wholehearted acceptance of this vitally important truth. That place is the church. Millions already know how much the church and an experienced clergyman have done to help them find the security, comradeship, and happiness that comes to those who live and serve as true Christians. If you're already a member of some church, be sure that you take an active part in the opportunities your church offers for service to others, as well as for worship. If you're not a member of any church, you owe it to yourself and your family to find out now just how much a church can help you toward a more complete and satisfying life. It may be that you will find what you want in the Episcopal Church. Of course, you are always welcome at your nearest Episcopal Church, and its clergyman is ready and eager to meet and talk with you, to explain to you what the Episcopal Church stands for and how it offers you a faith to live by in these trying times. Why not decide right now to visit your nearest Episcopal Church at morning services next Sunday?
This is Walter Hamden. I want to thank our cast, and especially you, Walter Pigeon, for a magnificent performance.
Thank you, Walter. I'm grateful to the Episcopal Actors Guild for the opportunity of joining you tonight. By the way, what's the play for next week?
Well, next week the families of the Protestant Episcopal Church and the Episcopal Actors Guild will present a particularly delightful play entitled The Farmer Takes a Wife. Our guests will be the popular stars of stage and screen, Eddie Albert and Margot. I hope you will join us.
Walter Pigeon appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios, producers of the all-star Technicolor musical Words and Music, based on the lives and music of Rogers and Hart. The music on tonight's transcribed program was composed and conducted by Nathan Kroll.
Now an invitation from the church.
The rector of your nearest Episcopal church will be happy to have you join his parish family. Why not attend church this coming Sunday and speak to him after the service? If you're not familiar with the location of your nearest Episcopal church or of the hour of service, you will find both listed in your local newspaper or church directory.